Taken under advisement, we move to the case of Snyder versus King. Mr. Gross.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. Both my client, Mr. Snyder, and the governmental appellees in this case agree that the district court erred in dismissing Mr. Snyder's federal claims on jurisdictional grounds. It's also noteworthy that neither the state defendants nor the county defendants have renounced or reversed their position that under their proffered interpretation of Indiana law, county voter registration boards should remove from the statewide role of registered voters established under HAVA persons incarcerated following misdemeanor convictions.
So I have a practical question for you, which is what the difference is on a very practical level between having one's original registration reinstated, number one, versus number two, just going to the nearest DMV or whatever and re-registering. Why are those so distinct in your mind that Mr. Snyder should be able to have the original registration reinstated?
I think on a practical level, there is no difference. As long as he's registered to vote, he's eligible to vote.
Right, and he can't go back and vote retroactively in the elections that took place while he was off. So even in Chicago, I don't think you can do that. I don't know. It bothers me since we have this issue, and I don't know whether it's a dignity interest or what it is that's keeping this, making that a form of effective relief.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we brought this action originally as a class action, and then pursuant to an agreement with the Attorney General's office, we agreed to dismiss the class allegations. And they agreed that they would not raise mootness as long as Mr. Snyder remained unregistered. And that is the practical reason why he has remained unregistered. Now, we also, Your Honor, believe that the case is still alive because Mr. Snyder has a claim for, at minimum, nominal damages from the county defendants who chose to adopt an interpretation of the word crime in the Indiana statute to include both felons and misdemeanors.
So you have a complexity, though, with the county defendants here, because sometimes counties are actually acting as subsidiary levels of government that don't partake of the state's sovereign immunity. And sometimes, though, counties are acting under direct command of the state, really almost as a state agency, and in the latter situation, damages wouldn't be available, right?
I think you're referring to this court's holding in Bethesda Lutheran.
Yes, I am.
Your Honor. Yes, that's true. I mean, we think Bethesda Lutheran is a narrow ruling, which applies only where the county defendants are acting pursuant to the compulsion of state law, that they can be punished if they don't comply with state law. This case presents an entirely different fact situation. Indiana's election laws and a system of administering its elections is an extremely decentralized system. Essentially, the county voter registration boards get to make the decisions. The state election division will offer advice, but even that advice, they acknowledge, should not necessarily be considered conclusive. So the county voter registration board, in this case, the county defendants, have made a policy decision to construe the word crime in a broad sense. And it's arguably an ambiguous term. It appears, obviously, in the 14th Amendment. It appears several places in the U.S. Constitution. It's one of those chameleon words that has different meanings depending upon the context.
Do you know how across the state of Indiana this word is interpreted? Are there some counties that say yes, it includes a misdemeanor, and other counties that say no?
Your Honor,
it breaks down?
I don't know, and that was part of the reason I suspect that we decided to abandon the class action because we think that Mr. Snyder may be somewhat of a class of one here. It's pretty unusual for someone to be incarcerated for a misdemeanor in the first place, but then to have his voter registration canceled.
Hold it. Is that just Indiana, or you think that's universal?
When you say universal, you mean 50 states. I believe that there are a couple.
Let's try the state you're in now, Illinois.
Yeah.
Do you think the misdemeanor can send you to jail or no?
I thought you were just saying, although it can.
We can dispose of Vandalia State Prison Farm, where every prisoner down there is serving a term for a misdemeanor, up to a year.
I suspect in Illinois, and like in Indiana, you can be incarcerated for a conviction
frequently
of a misdemeanor.
Drunk driving.
Right.
Reckless driving.
And our position is simply that if you are incarcerated for a misdemeanor, you shouldn't have your voter registration canceled.
Did I read this correctly? The Indiana Supreme Court has issued an advisory opinion with regard to, or a declaratory judgment with regard to definition of those terms?
Judge Lawrence certified the issue to the Indiana Supreme Court whether the battery that my client was convicted of was an infamous crime
within the
meaning of Article 2, Section 8 of the Indiana Constitution. And the Supreme Court said, no, it's not, in our opinion, reversing four of its own prior precedents, but also went on to hold that Indiana election officials had the inherent police powers to cancel the registration of the incarcerated misdemeanants.
Okay. So I'm kind of misread it, but they threw it back to the local election board.
They sent it back to the district court,
but they're in effect saying that the election boards really have the
right. And of course, it didn't. The Indiana Supreme Court decision did not resolve the federal constitutional issue or the statutory issue under the National Voter Registration Act. And
you're in your rebuttal time.
That's okay. When my opponent doesn't necessarily disagree with me, I don't mind so much losing rebuttal time. We think there are two reasons that this case is still moot. It's still active.
I presume you're saying
not. One is the availability of at least nominal damages from the county defendants, and the other is that there is still the availability of injunctive relief, as well as declaratory relief, declaring that the defendant's action in this case violated the 14th Amendment.
What was his relation to the town board?
He, at one time, I believe, was a member of the town council of Roseland, which is a tiny little suburb of South Bend near the Notre Dame campus.
One has the sense there's a backstory here, but I realize we're not involved in that. So.
Yeah, the fight that occurred. So
I don't endorse any of those actions. thank you very much.
May it please the court. Kristen Garn on behalf of the state defendants, Jay Bradley King and Trent Deckard, co-directors of the Indiana Election Division. Because Mr. Snyder sought injunctive relief in his amended complaint, the case and controversy requirement has been met, and therefore the case is judicial.
You have a lovely low voice. Could you raise it?
Yes.
I'm an old man. I can't hear as well as I used to.
Apologies, Your Honor. The case and controversy requirement has been met because Mr. Snyder sought injunctive relief, and on this point I'd like to clarify this position is consistent with page 19 of Mr. Snyder's brief. As we've touched upon lightly in our brief, we have a differing opinion as to why the case can be adjudicated by the district court. We take this position because we believe it's an appropriate construction of the prayer for relief, which shows that Mr. Snyder sought injunctive relief in the form of restoration of his pre-incarceration voter registration.
And in any event, in federal court, Rule 54 gives people the right to whatever relief is appropriate in the case. So even if, I mean, I know your position is not damages, even nominal, because of the Bethesda Lutheran case.
That's correct, Your Honor. Right, as you had mentioned earlier, we believe this is the procedurally correct construction, the procedurally appropriate thing to do.
What court sentenced him or judge sentenced him to incarceration?
Your Honor, I don't have the...
Is it town court? Do they have a town court in this place?
In Roseland. You know, Your Honor, I don't have the criminal docket at my fingertips.
That's all right. It was curious.
It was a 2008 conviction for Class A misdemeanor battery. If the court doesn't have any questions, I'm happy to conserve its time. I believe that, and rest on the position that's explained in our brief.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How much time?
Change your mind, huh?
I can answer your question.
All right.
Judge Caney, it was the St. Joe Superior Court. Yes. If the court has no other questions, I'll yield back the rest of my time. Thank you very much.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.